This is the greeting of the northern chiefs to the Queen and Prince Philip up here more than 300 miles north of Accra. In a very, very different world. It's still very, very hot indeed. In fact, I think it's hotter than it is in Accra. But this time it's not humid. This time the hot, arid wind from the Sahara blows across here, and one is very, very glad of a bit of shade, but very glad also that the humidity has gone. And those chiefs and their retinues sitting under these vast state ceremonial umbrellas are much to be envied this morning for the shade which they have, as on this red, dusty earth of the Durbar ground, and in front of a beautifully arranged pavilion where the Queen sits, they play their music.
That evening, the Royal Aircraft flew back to the south, and next day saw the Queen and the Duke again in a completely different atmosphere from Accra. They were visiting Kumasi, the capital of the Ashanti nation. It's an open, tree-filled city, and in Kumasi there's a great new hospital, one of the largest in West Africa, which the Queen saw as her first official engagement on Tuesday. Here's Audrey Russell's account of it.
Kumasi Central Hospital is the largest and most modern hospital in West Africa. They've got 500 beds, and it's a very busy place, as I have seen, because as I came through here to a private sitting room, I saw at least 900 people waiting in the outpatients department. Now, I have with me at the microphone two people who will tell me quite a lot about the hospital. First, the principal medical officer of Ashanti, Dr. Jolito, and the matron, Miss Abu Aji, Miss Henrietta Abu Aji. This hospital is very modern in architecture. I think one should explain for people at home that every opportunity for the air to circulate through with open windows and open stonework so that air can circulate right through the wards from one side to the other. But it's not all modern, because Dr. Jolito also, as I came in, I saw plunged into the ground a very ancient sword. First, could you tell me why this is so and why it belongs to the Kumasi Central Hospital?
Well, that sword, according to traditional history, was planted there some 300 years ago by a chief priest. And he prophesied that whenever this sword was pulled out of the ground, that would be the end of the Ashanti nation. Well, so many people have been attempting to pull it out, and naturally we have tried to discourage everybody from doing so.
But how do you cope with vast numbers like, say, 900 and outpatients?
Well, according to our present figures, each doctor sees anything between 150 to 200 cases a day. And you may wonder why we get so many patients in the hospital, unlike hospitals in Britain. That is because there are so very few private practitioners in the country, and they are not filtered through the general practitioners before coming to hospital. They all come straight away. And if you didn't have general practitioners in Britain, I suppose your hospitals would suffer the same.
I'm quite sure they would. Well, now, may I have a word with Matron? This is a teaching hospital, isn't it?
Yes, it is a teaching hospital.
For nurses?
For nurses and midwives. And we have two grades of nurses in training here. One, the state registered nurse, and the other one, which is equivalent to the assistant trained nurse in UK. Yes. And we have midwives also who haven't done any nursing at all, but just are their midwifery.
Now, if I may make a personal remark, which I've always been told I shouldn't do, you look very young indeed to be a matron. Can you tell me something about your own career? Where did you train?
I trained in Ghana, and I suppose it might interest listeners to know that I happen to be one of the first people who were trained as state registered nurses in Ghana. And we form the nucleus of the training in Ghana.
Well, thank you both very much indeed, Dr. Jolito and Matron Miss Abu Aji.
These great new hospitals of West Africa are a splendid sign of the rapidly changing conditions. And our correspondent Robert Hudson even found that In a crisis, the very word hospital can produce an impressive effect.
Are you by any chance stuck in a traffic jam? If so, take heart. I'll tell you how to get out of it. Our battered yellow taxi is often becalmed in the streets of Accra, and it is on these occasions that our peerless driver, Willie, comes into his own. Not for nothing has he driven round Accra for 24 years with, as he puts it, no trouble. The other day, stuck fast as usual, we were desperate to reach the broadcasting studios. Willie summoned a policeman. No use saying BBC out here. They just think you don't know the alphabet. So Willie tried a new tack. Hospital, he said gravely. It is hard to say whether passengers or the policeman were more surprised by this unexpected approach. The policeman's face, now right inside the car, was assuming, as far as we could judge, an expression of puzzled sympathy. But the passengers, plainly in the best of health, had equally plainly not been rehearsed. Were we to be visitors to some mythical aunt? Was Godfrey Talbot, a distinguished Harley Street surgeon, being rushed to a stricken bedside? Or could our tape recorders be passed off as X-ray equipment with a hint at a load of special scalpels and tweezers in the boot? We never discovered the answers to these things, because in a trice we were tearing up the wrong side of the road, beckoned on by eager policemen. So, now you know. Hospital. No trouble.
There was, of course, another great Durbar at Kumasi, and the Queen's dress occasioned a delightful panegyric from Miranda Greenstreet, and I'm sure she'll not mind if I call her Ghana's Audrey Russell.
She is simply dressed in mimosa silk fire, or what some people might describe as yellow. It's a full skirted dress, and she's got on a very lovely flowered petal hat to match, and also shoes, which is white, and a white handbag. This lovely dress she's wearing, although very simple, enhances her slim figure, and her hat is perched on her head so beautifully that it shows off her beautiful face and emphasizes her clear, laughing blue eyes. But she's looking really lovely. And whether she chose this yellow color because of her own rich kente, the predominant color of which is yellow or not, I just don't know. But the contrast of her color with the colors the women here are wearing is really beautiful.
Well, then came the speeches. First, the speech of welcome by the president of the Ashanti region House of Chiefs, who is the 70-year-old hereditary king of the Ashanti Hini. He appeared in splendid state, glittering with gold and with sword-bearers, drum-beaters and trumpets, and with a state umbrella held over him. His speech was translated by the interpreter.
May it please your majesty. On behalf of the chiefs and people of Ashanti, it is my honor and pleasure to extend to your majesty and your royal highness, the Duke of Edinburgh, the most sincere and hearty welcome to Ashanti. It will interest your majesty to know that Kumasi is regarded as the garden city of West Africa. We hope that your majesty's visit to Ghana will be a happy one, and we pray for God's blessings on your majesty and your beloved consort.
When the Queen rose to reply, she received a tremendous ovation, with a blowing of trumpets in the background, so enthusiastic indeed that she had to wait for a pause and then restart her speech.
Chiefs and people of Ashanti. Chiefs and people of Ashanti, my husband and I are delighted to have this opportunity of visiting Kumasi and meeting you at this traditional Durbar. I know that many of you have had long and tiring journeys in order to be here today. I thank you all coming and for the warm welcome you have given us. It is over 4 years now since Ashanti, together with the other territories which comprise the former Gold Coast, became independent under the name of Ghana. I have noted with interest and admiration the great progress you have made since then. It is my heartfelt wish to see your country continue to progress in peace, prosperity, and happiness.
So to the main event of the afternoon, the visit to the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. Audrey Russell had previously visited the university to talk to the Vice-Chancellor, Mr. Robert Bafour.
Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology in Kumasi stands on a site just outside Kumasi of 6.5 square miles, so one can appreciate that it's got plenty of room for development. One's impression of it as you drive in along the many avenues that wind around the halls of residence is of a magnificent parkland with trees and grass and gardens and courtyards and lots of tropical flowers, including, as I see, looking out of the window from which I'm speaking now, those magnificent scarlet canna lilies. The capacity here is 800 students and male students, and I think 30 women. And there's just over 700 here now and 20 women. It was officially opened in October 1961. That is, as a university, but of course it's been a college of technology for very much longer than that, in fact, nearly 10 years. And as I say that, the Vice-Chancellor, Mr. Robert Bafour, is nodding his head and looks quite pleased at my description, but I'm sure you can add a great many more details, Mr. Bafour. The first thing I would like to know is, what is the age of the students and how do they come here?
The average age of entry is about 18 years. The age has dropped consistently over the past 10 years. I remember when I was at college, when I first entered college in 1935, the average age of entry was 22, and it steadily dropped as the standard in the secondary schools and post-secondary schools improve. Younger and younger students are entering into college and are passing out at much less age than they used to be. The average age is 18 at entry, and they usually finish out at 22 and 23. With a BSc or learning degree in the particular faculty of the course that they took here.
Yes. Now, what faculties, what are the main faculties that you have here?
Our faculties are principally all applied sciences. The greater part of the students are in the Faculty of Engineering, which embraces all the three principal aspects of engineering, electrical, civil, mechanical. And next to that is the School of Agriculture, which is quite a very important school which concentrates upon the study and research in problems of indigenous agriculture, a very important factor indeed in a cultural country such as ours. And then we have the Faculty of Architecture and Town and Country Planning, and then the Faculty of Pharmacy, which is a very, very important unit indeed, and is at the moment engaged in very important research in the therapeutic values of Ghanaian plants.
Can you say a little bit more about that? Because I think that's very, very intriguing and interesting indeed. What kind of things?
Well, herbalism has been a long-standing practice in this country, and to some extent one can say that a great deal of the health of the people depend upon native doctors who used herbs in various forms. And we have been endeavoring in the past year to undertake research in the scientific research, analysis of the values of the plants, their classifications, and their therapeutic values. And we have been unearthing quite startling discoveries recently. I wouldn't like to mention them, but cortisone happens to be one of them, a very important type of cortisone, which is still under examination. And I believe that other very valuable medicinal qualities have been discovered in some of the plants that we have studied recently. We only just started. We've got about 160 plants done out of several thousands, but we shall go steadily plodding on to find out what more we can discover from them.
I understand that at the moment, Mr. Bafour, all the students are African. Would you like to see European students here?
Yes, by all means. I think it's certainly the one great thing that we wish for in this university. But we wish to have more and more English and European students here in residence with us, because we feel certain that this would give the wonderful opportunity to the students here to get to know them more intimately, to discuss, to give the Europeans also an opportunity of knowing what the students feel and think, because generally speaking, students everywhere are the same. And they'll get together, and I'm sure they'd make a wonderful success of this.
Well, now, all through the tour so far, our correspondents have been telling us of the heat. It's been tough travelling for everybody in the Royal Party, so Wednesday was especially welcome. There were no official ceremonies. A day for relaxation, which we'll mark with this easygoing high life entitled Tomorrow.
Ya bonsa ni jaware,
ya bonsa jaware.
Ojo ye una na me,
ya bonsa jaware.
Ojo ye una na me,
ya bonsa jaware.
Ewo,
ya bonsa jaware.
Cho, rbo, odem.
Ya bonsa jaware.
And when tomorrow did arrive, and the tour's strenuous official duties began again on Thursday, the Queen and the Duke began their inspection of the new industrial development of Ghana and of its plans for the future. First on Thursday, they saw the great new modern port of Tema, which is nearing completion near Accra, and where Robert Hudson had talked to the port manager, Mr. Ago Mensah.
You must have some big problems, Mr. Mensah, particularly labour problems.
Oh, yes.
How many men have you got working here now?
Well, about 1,000 strong.
Yes. And have they come from all over Ghana to work here?
Oh, yes. They come from all Ghana. Most of the men are now residing in Accra,
yes,
due to accommodation problems in Tema.
Yes.
Or it is hoped by next year all that should be overcome.
Mm-hmm. And have these men learnt a lot of new trades and skills in the course of this construction work?
Oh, yes. Very much. The firm who constructed the harbour had workshops and training centres whereby the men had training, and they have acquired much knowledge which will benefit them hereafter.
What sort of trades? Welding and that?
Welding, carpentry.
See the cranes sticking up over there. I suppose you had to train quite a number of crane drivers, did you?
Well, yes, the crane drivers, that is the Potter crane drivers, were all trained in Takoradi.
Yes.
And some of them have even arrived here for the jobs.
Mm-hmm. And how big do you expect the labour force to be in the end when the harbour is fully completed?
Oh, that may be within the range of 2,000.
2,000, double what it is.
Double what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a big job on your hands.
Oh, yes.
Are you enjoying it?
We enjoy it very well.
Then on from Tema to see the site of the great Volta Dam, on which so much of Ghana's industrial future may depend. Neil Bruce sent us this picture of the present position of this ambitious engineering project.
The Volta Dam is still a dream at the moment, but a highly organized and a very noisy dream. If you drive from Accra, first along the coast, past the new harbour of Tema, which is almost complete, then you travel some 90 miles through wild, lush bush country to the Volta River. After Tema, there are almost no villages and no settlements. It's a flat area, bursting suddenly into great hills with stone outcrops, all rather like the tors of Dartmoor. These are the sites of the only settlements in the past, fortress-like sites which could easily be defended. But with the coming of peace in the Gold Coast, before the turn of the century, the peoples of the outcrop forts moved down into the fertile land and away. So for many years there have been few people around this part, until the idea of the Volta Dam. And then a new town grew up, on a bluff overlooking the fast-flowing, muddy brown Volta River, called Akasombo, all less than 5 years ago. It's a dramatic situation. It overlooks a turn in the river, faces high hills, tree-covered, and until the last year or two, untouched. Now, there's a splendid main road and a replica in small scale of Sydney Harbour Bridge. And at Akasombo, the dam site, there's feverish activity. A new hotel, now housing the Italian workers of the construction company which is to build the dam, if it's built. The offices of the American firm of consultant engineers, a village to house the Ghanaian workers. The ground is being cleared by bulldozers at each side of the river for the start of the dam, which will run down to 200 feet below the water level. Explosions rock the hillside, clearing the ground. A new community for a new life, for a large smelting plant for hydroelectric power. But, and it's a very big but, there's still no start on the dam itself. For the question still to be answered is, will the United States provide the money needed for the project? It's still being considered in Washington, and until we know the answer, this is still virgin country, torn apart, but expensively unproductive, and no start on the dam.
Friday, and for a moment, the Royal visitors travelled back into the past of Ghana. They went along that remarkable, palm-lined, surf-beaten, endless beach of golden sand which forms the whole of the west coast, to see the old castles of the coast, at Cape Coast Castle and Elmina. These were the first European strongholds, with thick walls and great ancient cannons still in the battlements. And then, on Saturday, again from the past into the future, when they went to see the famous Achimota College, where the cream of Ghana's youth is being trained. Achimota is now one of the oldest educational foundations in West Africa, and as Godfrey Talbot found, it still has some of the atmosphere of an English public school.
Although, in fact, thousands of miles away, the Queen, I think, must have felt almost at home in England when she visited the Achimota School just outside Accra. Must have felt that, not just because this is the public school of Ghana, the Eton and Heathfield, the Harrow and Rodin of this country, but because of the atmosphere, the look of the place is at first familiar. The lawns, the trees, the playing fields, school chapel, gymnasium, boarding houses, nice solid white school buildings, and the main building with a homely clock tower. And a clock with a set of, well, almost Big Ben chimes. I've just been standing underneath this school tower recording the clock striking an hour. Listen to this. That sound certainly gave me a nostalgic pang. I thought my old school bell was ringing. Achimota is a big boarding school on English public school lines and has produced some fine people. It was started by the British when this was the colony of the Gold Coast in 1927. President Nkrumah once studied here when Achimota was partly a teacher's training college. Well, today the place is a Christian, co-educational public school and independent, or at any rate it has been autonomous through all its years until a government law only a week or two ago said it ought to come under the same rules as other schools. It remains to be seen whether this will make any difference. Mr. Daniel Chapman, the headmaster, told me that he didn't feel any difference. Achimota does seem familiar to the visiting British eye at first. But when you've got over the lawns and the fields and the cricket nets and the cadet corps and the Boy Scout troop, you're aware that just around the corner there's the red African soil and the anthills and the heat.
And today, Sunday, well, there's been morning service at Holy Trinity Cathedral in Accra, and tonight there'll be fireworks in Black Star Square. And tomorrow will be the Queen's last day in Ghana. And so, as we close this weekly report, we'll be reporting, of course, once again next week on the progress of the tour, we are going to play you the high life they composed in anticipation of the Queen's proposed visit in 1959.
We wanna God, we wish you welcome to Ghana. The people are rejoicing from Maxim to Bolgatanga, from a leader, Dr. Nkrumah, to the lowest in the land. We all join this song of love, we know you'll understand.
Last week's events during the Royal Tour of Ghana were described by Neil Bruce, Robert Hudson, Audrey Russell and Godfrey Talbot. The programme was introduced by Winford Vaughan Thomas and edited by Geoffrey Topping. Our thanks go to our friends in the Ghana Broadcasting Service for their help in making these recordings.